I think it's kind of interesting in a way that I haven't thought of before today. Or no, well, it wasn't today that I thought of it. It was a few days ago, actually. But nonetheless, a week after Christmas, here we are with Jesus and his parents. His mom still likely hurting from childbirth, and both those parents a little bewildered from lack of sleep, if I recall correctly, back at church. 1 week later, they of course aren't at church, really, they're at temple. Faithful Hebrews, they have come presenting their new and beloved child to God, their firstborn, bringing two turtle doves, as we hear. Now we know why we sing that. Maybe you knew that before. The first reminding this family of the covenant with God of which they are a part, and ensuring their child is part of that relationship, the second, an offering by which a new mom is cleansed. So Jesus is initiated, and according to tradition, Mary, his mom, is restored. The whole family renewed in their relationship with God. And if you were listening carefully, you might have noticed that all creation bursts forth into celebration. Isaiah said God was dressing the people in clothes like for a wedding and planting a garden that wasn't going to burst forth in potatoes and tomatoes and carrots and cabbage, but in righteousness and praise. A garden. The psalm was a rambunctiousness of praise from all of creation. Sun and moon and stars and sea monsters and snow and frost and wild animals and kings in the same phrase, I think, and all people, young men and women, old and young together, everybody. And in the midst of all that, we hear in Galatians that we are now no longer slaves, but also beloved children ourselves. Exuberance. Who of us would have thought that snow and sea monsters praise God? It's quite the day. It reminds me a little bit maybe of the odd baptismal party that we've had at the church. One already since I was here when Zoya was baptized, and another one actually next week when Ashley and little Kyle and Ashley's little girl will be baptized. Days of celebration when family and congregation all get together to celebrate the excellence of this one becoming God's child. And I want to say, when I say that, that I also think actually that all of us are children of God, baptized or not. But when we come, the celebration is in the coming and the promise that God speaks to us. Makes it a day of celebration, like the one we hear about today, with people and all creation and even God celebrating because they turned up in this way. I think, though, this day, I don't want to stop just talking about babies and this giving of ourselves to God or even baptism, because in life, babies are something that happen or don't. Some of us have had them, some of us haven't and never will, and some of us have long since stopped producing them. But somehow there is something significant about Mary and Joseph and Jesus attending at the temple that I just don't want to leave quite yet. Because I think in a way, this is my shift, we are here in a way for the same thing. We're kind of recommitting ourselves to God. It's New Year's Eve. It's a good day after all the busyness of the past month or so, which really ramped up the last week for some of us anyway. It's a good day to come here, even if the heat's off. It's still a good day to come. Settle in, kind of sit down and reflect. I don't know if for many of you New Year's is a thing. Some people mark it late into the night with festivities, hugging and kissing friends and family, singing Auld Lang Syne. I don't know if that's this crowd's thing. Or if it's a thing you might mark with an hour or so of sitting down with a cup of tea to consider what goals you might make, what habits you might wish to develop or change, quitting smoking or learning to knit, I don't know, renewing our relationship with God, perhaps. Unlike Mary and Joseph, for most of us these days, if we are bringing any life to God's house today, it's ours. It's not someone else's. And it seems like a good thing to do then this New Year's Eve to consider how it is that we bring our life to God. For some of us, it might very well be that some action from last year or from 50 years ago troubles us. I certainly don't think any of us need to dig around in our lives for regrets. But in my work as a pastor, I've often heard that people have them. They come up at the strangest times. So I think this New Year's Eve, just like Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to do what was right, that any of us, too, could take this time to reflect, to consider that today we are seeking to do something that is right. Some of us might just find it healing to come before God and offer ourselves seeking forgiveness. And I think it's fair to note that throughout Leviticus, it is noted again and again that when people make a sin offering, as they call it, a way of seeking forgiveness, they then receive forgiveness. I think Leviticus gets lots of, you don't think of Leviticus as a gracious book, but it is said again and again at the end of those paragraphs that they then receive forgiveness. So we can do that. I feel like it might be also the case that for some of us, it might be that we would come feeling like God, that we owe a bit of forgiveness to God. Because I think sometimes life can offer us things that in themselves are hard. And if there's reconciling, it sometimes, I think, can come the other way. So I'm not really up on the structure of sacrifice in Leviticus. But I did read a fair bit of it yesterday. And so I gathered there are a few other forms of sacrifice, too. Offerings or sacrifice for well-being, they call it. I think it would be fair to say they imply bringing our lives before God also in praise for things we celebrate, like we heard in our readings, or in prayer for our own well-being, especially if there's a change in life, I think, or some particular concern that troubles us. I think certainly in prayer for the well-being of others, for people who find themselves without a roof in this cold weather, or perhaps as they flee trouble somewhere far away, or people who need a way out of violence, or a way out of addictions, or anything that saps life from any of us. There are lots of reasons to come before God. And coming here, we do that. We sit ourselves down in God's presence, and we seek hope and newness and love. I also wanted to say something that a friend of mine reminded me of over the last few days, which is that in the West is what he said and what I've heard. So in our part of the world, I don't know where the West ends and something else begins, but in our part of the world, we can sometimes be very hard on ourselves, I think. We can kind of try to be kind to any number of people, but I think that when it comes to ourselves, sometimes we are judgmental in the extreme. We can think of all the lists of things that we don't accomplish. Sometimes it seems like we can make lists of ways that we just don't do anything right. I've heard those lists. I've probably made some of them. But sometimes it seems like no matter how many lists we make of people it would be good to be kind to, we ourselves would never actually add ourselves to that list. And I think that's important. So this New Year's Eve, as I invite us to ponder our connection to God, I also invite us to consider how it might be that we can consider our own connection to God in kindness to ourselves as well as to others. How we can reassure ourselves that we are held in God's love. Maybe it is important to you to recall that I said in those Levitical laws, it's noted time after time that when forgiveness is sought, it's given. Maybe that's important. Maybe we can recall the words of the psalm and the prophet in which all creation is celebrating the goodness which God has in mind for all of creation and for us as part of creation. Whatever ways we're convinced that we are imperfect, perhaps this day, this moment, we can take a break and realize that God created us and celebrates us the way we are here today. And perhaps we can recall those gentle words of Simeon that we heard in the gospel, who, when he saw Jesus, took that child in his arms and said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. Simeon's words, in a way, apply so well to us as well. Hearing of the birth of Jesus, born for all humanity, for all creation, we too are able to leave this place in peace, knowing that God has good in mind for all. So, God's blessings be with you and with our whole world as we turn over that new calendar year. Whether you celebrate tonight or reflect with a cup of tea, know that you do that with the joy of all creation, bursting forth at the goodness that God has in mind. Amen.